Chapter 5. Before we resorted to any, as Smythe called it, pyre shit, I ordered preparation for Skippy to try hacking into the network controller while he was inside a wormhole for extra difficulty points. My instructions were for him to only attempt establishing a connection, no actual hacking, nothing that might piss off the controller and cause it to ban him from the entire web of networks across the galaxy. To make sure the little shithead understood my instructions, I went with him in one of the three dropships assigned to the mission. No, I wasn't flying the thing. I was a backup pilot. Although, technically, my rating to fly that model of dropship was current, I admitted I wasn't comfortable with handling it in an emergency. I just didn't have enough hours of flight time recently. To prepare for the flight, all three dropships had their power systems torn down and rebuilt with spare components. Also, we selected three ships that were powered down and in storage at the time Valkyrie took Opie through the wormhole, so the network controller hopefully would not have detected a signature from those birds at the time. Skippy was confident that our trio of spacecraft would not be recognized, at least on the outbound leg. Coming back might be a risk. The controller would surely recognize Skippy and might decide any spacecraft near him were tainted by association. The Army mentioned there might be some risk involved in military service when I signed up. Back then, I did not expect alien wormholes would be a problem. Valkyrie jumped in near a wormhole that had just opened, and the ship launched two probes to fly ahead of the dropships. The probes went through without incident, flipped around to fire their engines hard to cancel their momentum, and came back through, transmitting sensor data to show the other side was clear. We got the dropships lined up in a formation with 30 seconds between each bird, and the pilots were on a hair trigger to veer off if the event horizon suddenly contracted. Nothing bad happened. Nothing good happened either. "Well, shit," Skippy grumbled when we emerged on the other side. "It was worth a try, but no joy. There is no way for me to infiltrate the network controller's matrix. That system is locked down tight." That makes sense. The Elders were very concerned about the possibility of a master AI like me gaining control over a system that is supposed to be independent. The new, improved Skippy the Magnificent might be able to do it, but I won't know until I extend my presence in there. "Do not do that," I ordered. "Good, because the only way to do that would be for me to stop inside the wormhole, which I could only do by myself without a ship around me." "You could do that?" "I thought there was no inside of a wormhole, that the distance between event horizons is effectively zero." "It is effectively zero, in the three dimensions inherent in this layer of spacetime. That's why no ship can halt in the middle of a wormhole." "Hey, it's not something I want to do either," he shuddered. "All kinds of bad things could happen to me in there." We got turned around, launched a single probe to tell Valkyrie we were coming back, and returned 4 minutes before the wormhole shut down and moved on to the next point on its ancient schedule. Just to confirm the network controller hadn't forgiven us or otherwise changed its mind, we tried to take Valkyrie through again. That time we were moving slowly and prepared for the event horizon to shrink as we approached. It did. Damn. "We now have an answer to that question," I sighed as our battle cruiser cleared the shrunken wormhole. "Fireball, jump option Juliet, punch it when ready. Colonel Smythe, we are go for some crazy pirate shit." "You won't regret this, sir," he told me with a wolfish grin. Hell, I regret it already. After approving Smythe's plan to, as he said it, do pirate shit, I didn't expect to sleep well that night. But I drifted off until my brain woke me up just before 3 a.m, like suddenly I was awake as if an artillery shell exploded near me. And that actually happened to me in Nigeria, so I know the sensation. That night in the jungle, I got lucky. The insurgents had fired a ranging shot at our base camp with a mortar, and before they could adjust and fire again, our battalion artillery splatted them with devastating counter-battery fire. All I suffered back then was temporary hearing loss, a headache, and a desperate need to dash to the latrine. Good times. Aboard Valkyrie, it wasn't a life-threatening situation that made me suddenly sit upright in bed. My brain had dreamed up a good idea. Sometimes I think the most productive thing I can do for humanity is to take a nap. "Hey, Skippy, are you awake?" Bilby answered. No, dude, he is in slumberland. What? Skippy doesn't sleep. Not exactly sleep, you know. Like, he's deep in meditation. Oh, crap. Is he trying to achieve oneness with the universe?
Skippy?
Bilby chuckled. Dude, there is no way he could ever achieve that level of chill. No, he's doing what you call rearranging his sock drawer. I'm like running the ship for him until he gets back. Well, how long will that be? Like, I don't know. It has already been a lot longer than I expected. Worrying about it is harshing my chill. This is bogus, man. I'm terribly sorry about that. You called him. Is it important? Kind of, but it can wait. Can I help? It's not like I'm doing much right now. Well, maybe. I want to talk about the Elder Early Warning System. Sorry, General Dude, you'll have to wait for Skippy. Do you want me to send coffee to your cabin? Nah, thanks anyway. I'm going back to sleep. I yawned. After I type my question into the note app on my Z phone so I don't forget it. My brain was spinning at that point. No way was I actually getting back to sleep. Lying there, wasting time, I debated whether I should go to the gym or try to grab some time in a flight simulator, or... The alarm woke me up at the regular time, which surprised the hell out of me. Huh? I blinked bleary eyes at the phone, fumbling to turn the alarm off. Apparently, I had fallen back asleep. I felt weird. Not bad. Good, actually. Is that what it feels like to get a decent night of sleep?
Good morning, Joe,
Skippy said through a yawn. Hey, I hear you were sleeping too. Not sleeping. Part of my matrix was offline. I'm working on getting around my restrictions. Bilby has been very helpful. Thanks for the suggestion. I wasn't sure if I liked the new properly refreshed Skippy. Any progress on those restrictions? Yes, not enough, but I might be making slow progress. We are making progress. Like I said, Bilby has been super helpful. I am, he sniffed. So proud of him. That's great to hear. Have you told him that? Let's not go crazy. There was the Skippy I knew. Probably a good idea. Anywho, you want to talk about something? Can I go first? Sure. Standing over the sink and splashing water on my face helped with my morning grogginess. I have thought about it, and I can't help you. I will not help you. It's not right. Oh, fuck. Instantly, I was fully awake. What the hell are you talking about? You won't help us at all? I will not help you establish an alpha site beyond the barrier, even if somehow you dream up a way to accomplish the impossible. To be specific, I won't assist in creating a humans-only refuge. It's immoral. Can we talk about this? We can talk if you have nothing else to do. Joe, humans caused this problem. You caused the problem. Okay, I agreed. Though my recollection of events was slightly different, that was not a good time to argue with him. Humans can't create a mess for the entire galaxy, then bail and leave everyone else to die. It's not right. This isn't an optimal situation for anyone, Skippy. If the Maxalks hadn't threatened my homeworld, we wouldn't have needed to fight. If the spiders had not been so freaking lazy, they could have cut a deal to protect us. If the elders weren't such supreme assholes, their AIs wouldn't have wanted to wipe out all life in the galaxy. There is plenty of blame to go around, Skippy. I'm pretty sure all the other species in the galaxy will have a different view on that. Okay, fine. What if we invited a small group from each intelligent species to come with us? That would be fair, right? Are you building a freaking ark, taking two of each species? He scoffed. Well, it would have to be more than that. By invited, you mean kidnapped. This entire operation would need to be ultra-top secret. If the Elders knew you were taking refuge in the Fornax Dwarf Galaxy or anywhere else, they will come to kill you. Okay, you made your point. It's impossible anyway. It is impossible. The Rindaloo have a doomsday contingency that is much more realistic than your fantasy, and even their scheme won't be effective. The Elders will be very careful not to make the same mistake again. They will be watching. They know that no matter what they do this time, life will evolve again in the Milky Way, or in one of the satellite galaxies. They will be watching, and they will squash any signs of intelligence developing. There is no refuge, no amount of time until it will be safe for intelligent life to emerge again. Skippy, if you were a motivational poster, it would read, "Life is hopeless, so just give up and die." That would save people from wasting energy on a lot of false hope. False hope is better than none. Let's hit the rewind for a minute. What is the Rindaloo Doomsday Plan? I didn't know they had one. Well, of course they have one, Joe. A plan that is much better than the Maxalt scheme to run away and wait outside the galaxy. The Spiders have archives hidden in stealth modules in deep interstellar space or buried inside comets. The archives contain stored data, including billions of versions of their DNA equivalent. In case of an apocalypse, AIs in those archives would wait until a specified time after the danger had passed, and machines would create new Rindaloo. These new foundlings would be raised and educated by the AIs to emerge and rebuild their civilization. That is a realistic long-range plan. And like I said, even that won't work. Sentinels will scour the galaxy to find and eliminate the archives. Any archives that survive could never rebuild the spider species or civilization. The instant the foundlings emerge, they would be destroyed. Do you understand? Yes, I snapped at him. Gloom and doom, and there's no point to anything. Thank you for the pep talk. I'm just trying to make sure you appreciate the full truth of the situation. Believe me, I do. There's no way to win this fight except... What? Oh, shit, you have that look on your face. What look? That I know something you don't know look that I freaking hate? Is it possible to duplicate one of those alarm signals? What alarm signal? Come on, Skippy, try to keep up. The signal from the early warning station in Fornax, the big bad scary things are coming signal. You want me to reach all the way out to the early warning sensor platforms that are more than 100,000 light years from the inner limit of the barrier? And what, hack into those platforms so they send a false alarm? If you could do that, it would be great. The answer is no, you knucklehead. What part of the word barrier do you not understand? Even if the barrier allowed me to extend my presence, no way can I cross that enormous distance. Okay, I thought that would be the case. How about this? Can you make a section of the barrier pulse as if it had received an alarm signal from the early warning system in the Fornax Dwarf Galaxy? What? No! This is impressive, Joe. Usually when we have a what-if conversation like this, your ideas get progressively less stupid until you, by random chance, hit on something vaguely practical. This is a new achievement for you. Will you shut up and let me talk? Sure, go ahead. Amuse me. Why can't you have an effect like that on the barrier? You're an elder AI. Many reasons. Too many for me to list right now. The most important is that the elders were careful to compartmentalize the systems they left behind. Remember that even in the internal security system I served, power was segmented between three entities: master control AIs like me, starship AIs, and sentinels. The elders did not want their internal security system being able to screw with the external security system. That is also why I can't directly control local security systems like the Guardians and the Roach Motel. Okay. But you are Skippy the Magnificent. You have greatly exceeded your original programming, right? That is true. I have grown far beyond my intended capabilities, and it is within the realm of possibility that I could learn to have the desired effect on the barrier. See? You doubt yourself too much, Skippy. It doesn't matter, numbskull. The barrier would almost certainly squash me like a bug if I tried to screw with it. Plus, we would somehow have to fly close to the barrier for me to be within range to do anything. Valkyrie could never fly all the way there and make it back. Even if we started in the Sculptor Dwarf Galaxy, it is too great a distance. We can use multiple star carriers to stage... Joe, no! Please stop. That is just logistics. Difficult and expensive, but the flight is possible. It would take too long. The elders would come back before we could even get to the barrier. But the flight is possible. There is an unsolvable problem. I have no idea what the alarm signal looks like. The proper signal is stored in only two places, the early warning station transmitters in Fornax and other places outside the barrier, and the receiver stations here in the Milky Way. Making the barrier randomly pulse is a waste of time. Shit. No, that is actually good news. I should have thought of this. Of what? All you have to do is hack into a receiver station and make it think it got the proper signal. You've done that trick before. OMG, are you insane? Do you have any idea what is involved in the all I have to do part of your lunatic plan? Not yet, duh. You first have to explain why it can't be done, then I will tell you how to do it. That's our deal, remember? Joe, to explain this to you, I will need an entire box of crayons. The Marines aboard this ship probably have crayons in their stash of candy. I'll see if I can swap some beef jerky for crayons. I was joking, you idiot. Skippy, I know that. Why are you interested in pursuing this lunacy? What is the point? Think about it. If we can get the system to send a warning to the elders, I'm hoping they will be too scared to come back. He didn't respond. Skippy? Hello? I waved a hand in front of his avatar. Joe, today, you are truly pushing the frontiers of stupidity. This is a bold step even for you. Bravo. You are such a smartass. Why won't that work? The elders set up a warning system. Why do you think they will ignore a danger signal?
Gosh. Wow, you're right. It is a brilliant idea.
Can you just tell me why it won't work? Sending an alarm signal would have the opposite effect, you numbskull. The elders would come back immediately to investigate what is wrong and to prepare a defense. Were you not paying attention to what just happened? Opie already did send a distress call. Now the elders are returning so they can fix the problem. The situation is different, though. Opie's distress call only warned that meat sacks are screwing with the stuff the elders left behind. That is annoying to the elders, but not dangerous. Whatever the threat is from outside the galaxy, that is a danger to their existence. They ascended to get away from that threat. Why would they take the risk of coming back? You're wrong, Joe. The mechanisms the elders left behind are necessary for them to remain in their ascended state. That's why they created an elaborate security system to protect those mechanisms. Without the power feed from this plane of existence, they would lose their connection to base space-time. That is a threat. Whether that power feed is interrupted by meat sacks from within the galaxy or by beings from outside makes no difference. Do not ask for more detail about those mechanisms. I am restricted from revealing that information. Well, shit. Damn it, I thought I had a genius idea. Bonus points to you for original thinking, but your brilliant, innovative solution would only make the problem worse. Yeah, I see that now. You appear to be getting even dumber. Maybe I should check whether Opie hacked into you. That's not. All Opie had to do was wait for you to dream up another dumb idea, and you would have alerted the elders by yourself. All right, you... Whose side are you on, anyway? You made your point, Skippy. You really should try to think inside the box, Joe. My failed idea to scare the elders away by using a fake warning about a threat from outside the galaxy was not entirely a waste of time. It amused Skippy. He razzed me about it all that day and half of the next, so I was successful in my vital function of performing wacky antics for him. That conversation also made me stop abruptly on the treadmill that afternoon. So abruptly I stumbled and would have fallen off the treadmill's deck and smacked my face if my reflexes hadn't kicked in to help me grab the railings. After that incident, which caused people in the gym to rush over to see if I was okay and did not embarrass me at all, I wiped down the treadmill and switched to a stationary bike. On a bike, if I suddenly stopped, I wouldn't be at risk of killing myself. People gave me curious looks, as they often did, because I sat on the bike, pedaling slowly, muttering to myself and typing notes on my phone. Instead of talking to Skippy right away, I waited until I slept on it, hoping either my brain would dream up a better plan or I would wake up and realize there was a fatal flaw in my thinking. No such luck. So I had to tell Skippy my no-doubt moronic plan and endure his gleeful scorn. Again, that would count as amusing him with wacky antics, so there was no downside. The next day, I had my usual meeting with Sims. She surprised me by bringing a basket of fresh-baked croissants and a jar of strawberry jam. Let me guess. I sniffed suspiciously at a croissant. These are made with gluten-free broccoli flour or something like that. Shh, she hissed. If the French team hears you say that, we could have a mutiny. Sorry. I just didn't expect you to bring unhealthy food to me. These are... She tore off a piece of croissant, popped it in her mouth, and rolled her eyes. Rolled them in a good way. So good. You need to treat yourself. Plus, the French team got up early to bake these, as a morale booster. Oh, well, then. I reached into the basket. It would be insulting not to eat them. If anyone thinks it's not manly to eat some French thing that is pronounced croissant, then let me ask you a question. Do you like biscuits? Fresh, flaky biscuits. If you answered yes, then you should know that a croissant is like the flaky top of a biscuit. Yum. If you do not like biscuits, then I don't know what's wrong with you. Perhaps you should seek professional help.
Wow,
I mumbled over a mouthful of buttery croissant.
These are really good. Like Pentagon quality good.
She blinked.
The Pentagon, sir?
Yeah. You know, that bakery in the Pentagon near where you get off the metro? I think they use a whole stick of butter in every one they bake. I've only been to the Pentagon twice and didn't see a bakery.
Sipping coffee and looking at me intently over the rim of her mug, she asked, Are you okay, sir?
Sure, why?
There is an extra level of pressure on you right now. Consider this a buddy check.
Holy shit. I had to look down and cover my eyes with a hand. Why? Because my eyes brimmed with tears. My executive officer, who had been with me from the beginning, from back when I lied to get her to leave a logistics base on Paradise and go off-world with me on a crazy half-baked mission, was doing a buddy check. Soldier to soldier, she was asking how I was coping with the pressure. Usually anyone, especially a man, will put on a brave face and lie that everything is just fine. That's what I did all my life, until Sergeant Coke in Nigeria explained that when a soldier is doing a buddy check, you don't lie. You just fucking don't. One reason we had our morning status meeting at a table in the far back corner of the galley is so we could talk without anyone hearing us. That allowed us to talk privately and say things we might not talk about otherwise. Rubbing my eyes with the back of a sleeve, I looked at her and held out a fist. She bumped it.
Sims.
Jennifer, I said quietly, my eyes darting around the galley to ensure no one overheard me.
I hear you. We have been through a whole lot of shit together, huh?
It's been a privilege.
Bullshit, I laughed. It has been a pain in the ass.
That too,
she laughed. Then her expression turned serious again.
You didn't answer my question, soldier.
With a shrug, I told her, I'm dealing. Same as usual. Cocking her head at me, she looked in my eyes.
This situation is not our usual end-of-the-world scenario. The elders made this game. They made the rules, and they can change the rules. There's no way to win against them.
That's what Skippy says. All the awesome tricks he does to be magnificent are him making elder technology do stuff his creators never intended. He's worried the elders could just, I snapped my fingers, turn off his access to that tech. Or turn him off.
This is going to be a hell of a fight, that's for certain.
Yeah, I shrugged, tearing off a piece of croissant and eating without really tasting it. That's not what's bothering me. She blinked.
It isn't?
No. My concern right now is we might not be in the fight. The spiders have us trapped out here. Shit. I softly pressed my fist on the table, not wanting to call attention to myself. We've been in plenty of desperate fights before, but we have never missed the action. If Smythe's plan doesn't work, this fight could be over while we're trying to get to a freaking wormhole.
We could try explaining the situation to the spiders.
She reminded me of one backup option we had discussed and discarded. That actually had been Smythe's idea. I don't think he sincerely believed the spiders would cooperate, or at least they would take so long to consider working with us, the fight would be over before they gave us an answer. Really, I suspect my special ops leader offered the idea as a way to sound reasonable while he planned to do crazy pirate shit. Sims agreed that explaining the problem to the spiders wasn't a realistic option. Her backup plan was for us to attack, board, and capture a Rindaloo warship, probably a relatively soft target, an escort vessel, like a destroyer or light cruiser. We would transfer to that ship and abandon or even self-destruct Valkyrie. I did not like that idea, and was surprised that Sims would propose such a bloodthirsty piratical option. Moving from Valkyrie to an unmodified spider destroyer would be a major downgrade of our capabilities, and it would likely mean death for Bilby. The idea was a non-starter for me. Unless we had no other option, dammit. Talking to the spiders is our least attractive option. I gulped the coffee that had gotten cold. Right behind us getting out and pushing the ship home.